Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the central biblicist worldview. We call it having a biblical worldview because we go by the scripture and all that we see happening in our nation, both socially, economically, politically, theologically, doctrinally, and biblically, we view it under the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. What does God's Word say about it? How should we respond to it? I believe that is the best way to look at the worldview, have a worldview today. It's a central biblicist worldview. And I'm saddened to say that many Christians today do not know what a central biblicist worldview would connote or what it means. It simply means looking at the Scripture and allowing the Scripture to give us insight as to what's taking place in our society. We're going to be talking about a very important subject today. In just a moment, we'll interview our guest that will be with us today. It is the one that I'm simply calling our next mayor of the city of Jacksonville. And I'm praying that during the course of this broadcast, you'll stay tuned. Call friends, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances, and ask them to join in the dialogue and the discussion today as we talk with one of our mayoral candidates that I believe should be in the office of mayor, March election. So we'll be talking about that during the course of the broadcast. We'll be talking about today selecting the right leadership. Selecting the right leadership. Let me just do a little brief pre-monologue before we go further. I believe we have been witnessing and watching what I call the D.C. circus. You know what I'm talking about, watching what is taking place in the U.S. House of Representatives after, what was it, 7 votes, 8 votes? How many votes have they had so far trying to put Kevin McCarthy back in or in as the Speaker of the House? I believe that we need to make a change. I believe it's time for political change locally, statewide, and nationally. I believe it's time to have political fresh blood. I would use the term, I believe it's time we have young blood, but that would be connoting the wrong thing. I believe it's time we have fresh blood in the local, state, national leadership role. We've been watching the circus with Kevin McCarthy. I'm looking at an article that says conservative heavyweights called for new GOP leadership after McCarthy failed to clinch the speakership. A group of nearly 50 conservative heavyweights co-signed a statement Wednesday calling to change the status quo in Washington and applauded the 20 members of the Congress who Wednesday voted against House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, sinking his bid for House Speaker after 6 rounds of votes. I believe they had another 1 or 2 rounds after this article. But the article further says, among the group calling for McCarthy, Republican of California, to bow out of the race for speakership are former Reagan administration Attorney General Ed Meese, Jenny Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, David McIntosh, president of the Club for Growth, Conservative Action President Ken Blackmull, along with 47 others, offered support for the 20 courageous members of Congress who have voted against McCarthy. Quote, these members represent the millions upon millions of voters across the country who are disgusted with the business-as-usual, self-interested governance in Washington, said the group. And may I add a little parenthetical footnote? Not just looking at it from the standpoint disgusted with business as usual in Washington, I think we're disgusted with business as usual on the local, state, and national level. So, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that today's broadcast is going to be imperative that you hear, that you participate in, and for your participation, you can call 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. And let me remind you, as we look at the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And John 8, 31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then Jesus says in John 14, 6, "I am truth." And further he says in John 17, 17, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." But may I say to you that we live in a society today where truth is not honored, truth is not embraced, truth is not adhered to, truth is looked at with disdain, and in some cases just simple chin-drop dismay. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." When you find those, ladies and gentlemen, that are conservative or conservative Christian or patriots that's running for office, you will find all manner of evil being spoken, and they will not speak the truth. Now, on the other side of the coin, there are a lot of the candidates that's running on a local and state and national level that you find besmirched by the left that do not want conservative voices to be heard in the political arena. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, we speak up, stand up, be heard, and be seen. I think it's time that Kevin McCarthy steps aside and says, "Find someone else for the Speaker of the House." Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, it was Kevin McCarthy, almost single-handedly, that undermined everything that President Donald J. Trump attempted to do, wanted to do, and could have done when he was when we, as conservatives, had control of the Oval Office, the House, and the Senate in 2017, 2018. It was Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell that blockaded and refused to bring to the floor multitudes of things that President Donald J. Trump wanted to accomplish and could have accomplished if they'd had people other than Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell in the controlling positions. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we get back to truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer that is Jan Hus that said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And that's my challenge to you even today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with the Honda generators, ladies and gentlemen. And listen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. It's right at the intersection of the beltway of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find the flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that not just the heavyweights, as I read briefly in the article, some of the 50 heavyweights in America that's saying that Kevin McCarthy needs to step aside. I believe it's time, as the article states, that these 50 represent millions upon millions in America that say it's time for change. We've all witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, the moral, ethical, political decline under the socialist, Marxist, Democratic Party and the Sleepy Joe leader that's been leading, so-called leading, been in charge of the American direction and destiny now for almost 3 years. But ladies and gentlemen, in Exodus chapter 18, verse 21, the Bible gives us the criteria for electing a political leader. "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of the people able men." That's number one, able men. That means having capability and competence to carry out the task. able men such as fear God. Such as fear God simply means we need to select leaders that have reverence for God, respect for God, will honor God in their decisions. Such as fear God, men of truth, ladies and gentlemen, means we need to vote for and elect people, put them in office, that what they say in the election campaign process, they will do once they're sworn into office. Men of truth, having a reputation, known to be honest men, not liars, not one who says one thing and does another, not one that will speak out of both sides of his mouth, if you please. Not just reputation, but also one that have reliability, that you can depend on it. It is a consistency. We have today, for example, leadership in Duval County, some of the city council. We have one seated in the mayor's office that simply does not meet the criteria biblically. Not a man of truth, not a reputation of being honest, not one that's reliable, trustworthy. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture goes on to say, and hating covetousness, that's perhaps one of the greatest evidences of those going into office. You see, back in the era of yesteryear, men that were capable, men of reputation, men that love God, men that love truth, would be willing to leave their homes and their families and their business and go to D.C. and invest 3 months, 6 months, or a year, and then go back home. It was in the day and the era that a political seat was not something viewed as a profession. It was viewed as simply an honor to serve God in representing our country. That's no longer it. Hating covetousness means not grasping, not greedy, not in it for the dollars, not serving the people, the citizens, simply because of the paycheck that's being gained and gotten. For example, one of the mayoral candidates that's running for mayor in the city of Jacksonville now heads up the Chamber of Commerce, $400,000 a year, I believe it is. And he got the board at the Chamber of Commerce to agree that if he does not win the election as mayor, that he could still go back in the position of chairman of the Chamber of Commerce and continue to draw his salary. Ladies and gentlemen, that's gravis. That's greed. That's wanting to not serve the people, but wanting to get the big paycheck. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason we have the need today to find men that meet the qualification based on the Word of God. And I am especially concerned, ladies and gentlemen, for our city, for the city mayoral candidacy, and who goes into that office. I'm looking at a gigantic article. I'm going to touch on it, then we'll introduce our guest today. It says 2023 spells big trouble for the U.S. economy. All the major banks are now warning of a major recession ahead. The vast majority of the economists at the 23 largest financial institutions surveyed said that we're facing a major recession in 2023. The institutions that predict a coming recession expect consumer spending to weaken as Americans deplete their savings. An aggressive Fed drives up the borrowing cost and banks' lending standards are tightening. Soaring U.S. inflation, which in June of 2022 hit its recent peak of 9% in its annual terms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, we need men that will tighten the belt in our city, men that will become mayor, an individual that will become mayor, that will take the position that we're going to chop out a lot of the funding of these aberrant organizations that are sexualizing our kids and recruiting them and grooming them off the streets. I believe it's time that we wake up, stand up, speak up, be heard, and do something other than what we see taking place in the D.C. Beltway with the fiasco that's taking place there now. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the turn to some degree in our city and in our state and our nation. And I believe it's time that we make that decision to have a clean broom and sweep clean that which is taking place politically. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with us today the candidate that I believe should be approved, selected, and elected by we the people to represent us in the mayor's office this election. The election's coming up in March, and so I believe it's time that we have today a conversation with mayoral candidate that I believe is the right leadership for Jacksonville's future. Today we have Al Ferrero. He is presently serving on the city council. He is running for mayor. And so, Al, I'm thankful that you could take time out of a busy schedule and have this discussion with us today. And by the way, for not revealing, I don't think anything that's a major secret, but I invite our listeners to pray for Al's family. He's got a dad that's very ill, and I believe that we need to be in prayer for his family. I believe we need to be in prayer for his candidacy. And ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you will stay tuned and that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that number is 904-831-0917. Al, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you to your audience. Last couple times I spoke, I would go to the grocery store or the gas station, and I had people coming up to me telling me they were listening to your show, and it made me feel really good that we had so many Christians out here who are listening to you. So thank you for what you're doing. It's very important.
Well, I am so delighted to have the privilege to be a part of what I believe God is doing in your life and what I believe God is preparing us for the city of Jacksonville, for one to be seated in the mayor's office with integrity, honesty, and trustworthiness that I believe meets this is my position, and I pray that our listeners will listen well, that will, I believe, meet the standard that God's word tells us that we need to find that kind of candidate. In fact, in Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And Al, I've said on this broadcast many, many times, I believe that not just in Jacksonville, but for Jacksonville, the state of Florida, and for our nation is in a state of mourning because of who those that we have placed our confidence and trust in leading us as a nation. Al, there perhaps would be a number of people that have not heard you speak before, that have not heard your brief testimony as to what you're doing and why you're doing it. Would you take a few minutes, introduce yourself to our listeners, and tell them what you're doing, why you're running, and just briefly, without getting into details at this point, briefly what you're wanting to accomplish.
Sure. So thank you. Thank you again. My name is Al Ferrero. I'm the city councilman for District 2, which encompasses the east part of Arlington and most of the north side from Main Street to the ocean and to the county line. I got into politics because I was just like anybody else, where I just wanted to make sure our tax dollars were being used wisely, and I didn't feel like they were. And that's really what got me into it. I had a lot of customers ask me to do it. Once I got into it, for the first 4 years, my main focus was putting in infrastructure, our roads, our bridges that needed repair or replacement, a lot of drainage issues that we have in the district, just increasing our core functions of what needed to be done. After my first term, that's when we ran into civil unrest. That's when we started having it seemed like the world was coming around with the pandemic. We had the second time through the shoot where we were trying to sell our largest asset, the JEA. The corruption was just around me. You speak about evil, and you talk in the presence of the Bible of how it's laid out. And if you're silent about things, that you're almost part of it. And I was surrounded by evil. I was surrounded by people asking and doing things that were wrong, that you know are wrong. And the way they ask sometimes doesn't seem that way. So I didn't think I could do something on a state or a federal level, but I had a lot of people who kept helping me out, saying, you know, they were really appreciative of my just talking straight and giving straight answers to problems, but also coming up with solutions to problems, not just complaining about them. And a lot of the things that need to be fixed in the city are not new ideas. They're going back to traditional teachings. It goes back to the teachings of, you know, and the Bible lays out the right way of doing things. You know, if something sounds wrong or it goes against your moral fiber or your moral compass, it's wrong. You know, and too many people have sat around and just allowed things to happen to where I wasn't okay with that. And I felt like I could do something about it. So, you know, you hear people talk about a calling. It wasn't a calling. It was a screaming to you can do something about this. And the more I did, the more people got behind me. And it's not the money behind me. It's the people behind me. There's a lot of people who are working two and three jobs who are constantly being told they're not doing enough. And you see government coming in here and getting bigger and growing, and not just growing, but growing in the wrong direction. You know, you talked about how our schools and what they're teaching our children. You know, they're unraveling the fabric that, that men and women had died to give us the right to have the freedom of our country, to the protections of the individual. And you see that in the past, little by little had been chipped away. But starting around 2019, when we started having all these things that were collapsing around us from the pandemic and everything, it started being big chunks. And it got to the point where people weren't even hiding what they were doing. They're from defunding the police to trying to sell the JEA to, you know, keeping people from going to church. You could go to a drag queen storybook, but you couldn't go to church. It was things like that that just made me say, you know, I can do something about this. I'm healthy enough. I'm strong enough. And, you know, it's something that I feel like I can do it. It's not something that maybe. I really believe that I can do it. And I believe if I get into office in the first 3 years, I will put our city on the track of where it's going to be a law-abiding citizen, a law-abiding a county, to where we do the rule of law and we see things getting fixed, to where when you place the bar at such a height, no matter what happens when you leave office, people are going to have to do that. That's what I've done in my district. I have the safest district in the city of Jacksonville. I was able to get some of most of the roads and infrastructure in my first 4 years than elected officials had done in 12 years before there were term limits. So a lot of the things that I see that can be done, I believe they can be done, and I can give you examples of how and why they need to be done. And if we don't, we're going in a direction that is just wrong for our country, our citizens, and our faith.
Al, I'm thankful to hear you say that, and I'm praying that our listeners are tuned in. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We'd love to have your dialogue and discussion. Join in the discussion with Al Ferrero, District 1 City Council member, now running for mayor. Al, I'm thankful that you are taking this time to talk with us today. One of the things that grabs my attention, based on some of the things that you've said, let me just say it this way. If we know, based on all the stats and all of the demographics and all of the banks and the financial institutions in America, have already said that we're going into a deep recession in 2023. That happens to be this year. With that being said, if we know we're headed in that direction, what can be done to put the brakes on so many handout programs for the city of Jacksonville, where there seems to be no end to the funding, and yet moms and dads and hardworking people in our city are laboring hard to make a living and at the same time pay their taxes, only to find our taxes being doled out to institutions like Jasmine Club on the west side, that literally go out and recruit teens on the street and groom them and help them in what is called the transition from male to female to male, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Should things like that be stopped? The question I reckon is best succinctly asked, where do we stop as a city feeling that somehow, some way, taxpayers, without the taxpayers' knowledge, without the taxpayers' authorization, without the taxpayers' blessings on it, where's the stopping point of saying no longer will we dole out funds like it's a gravy train to everybody? Is it possible for for the brakes to be put on the open-ended spending in our city? From a mayor's standpoint, how do you view that? What do you think is the answer to that? How should we respond to it when we see these things taking place?
Lots of questions in there and lots of answers to that.
Yes.
So first of all, there's nothing that gets an elected official more frightened than an angry constituent that's vocal. There's a lot of people who get angry and they'll say something in private, but they won't say something in public. And one of the biggest things is a lot of times when somebody's upset or aggravated with what an elected official is doing is they send an email or they'll make a call. And I'm going to tell you, that doesn't go very far. You need to get where you talk with the elected officials. First, you need to put elected officials in there who are actually going to do something. And
yes,
that is to represent your belief, but not just say it, because I'm really upset when I get up there and we're voting on something and people get elected and I heard or stood on a stage where they said something. And then when they got elected, they did something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
Different things motivate people. So you, one of the things you have to do if you're a citizen is you need to make sure that you're staying in what's happening and keep yourself well informed, not just listening to people, because it doesn't really matter what party you belong to. They're going to tell you what you need to hear to get your vote, and then they're going to do what they want to do. And that's not the way that our country was set up. Our setup was just like you said at the beginning, that we're supposed to have representation, and they're supposed to go back to what they were doing and move along. And what's happening is now people are making such careers, and so many elected officials, whether it's on the city council or whether it's in the school board or whatever, it doesn't matter. They're getting money from taxpayer dollars in different ways, whether it's a job that they're holding, whether they're doing counseling, or whether they're on a nonprofit. You go through the city council and you look at how many people in there are getting some type of taxpayer dollars. And I'm not talking about PETA. If somebody wanted to say something, they could say, well, Al, you're getting a check, a government check doing that job. I'm talking about funding where they vote themselves increases in their budgets for nonprofits that they belong to or that their family members or on and on. In the way it's set up is they say, well, we can't vote for ourselves. And that's true. But if you watch what happens, they all vote for each other and they all get money. And what's happening is it becomes a machine to where they're protecting their jobs. And that is their focus. Their focus is not protecting you. It's not protecting you as a citizen of what's happening with crime in the city. It's not protecting you with your roads and your infrastructure, your garbage, all these other things that are happening. What happens is their first focus as an elected official is taking care of themselves or who they have. So to answer your question is to put in somebody who is going to take that challenge of watching over the community of what they were, where they were put in office. And here's the other thing. If they're not doing their job, get rid of them. You know, don't continue allowing to do it, because what has happened on a federal level, just like it has on a local level, is you have people coming in here, and each election cycle, they're promising you something and doing something different. There should be no surprise, but here's what I see that's happening is most people are so involved with their kids, with work. Some people are working two and three and four jobs. They don't have the time. But what they could do is do some research. And if they can't do the research on everything, trust somebody like you who is doing that research. Go to somebody who is actually doing the research and can back up what they're saying, because talk is cheap. And as we go into the election, you're going to see ads and things that are just repetitious, and people will remember the ads, but they won't know if it's true or it's not, just because it's being played. So there's a lot of questions that you asked in there, but people have to do what our country was set up for, and that's the individual freedoms and individual responsibilities. People need to check on who they're putting in office, and if they're not doing a good job, by God, get rid of them.
Absolutely. I will second that amendment. Yeah, I would second that. Absolutely. Al, we're thankful that you're taking time today to talk with us about this. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Al Ferrero, District 2 City Council of Jacksonville, and he's the candidate for, I say, the main candidate, the only candidate in my mind, that's running for mayor's office, the March election coming up very soon. And Al, after our news break in just one moment, we're going to get back to some issues, and you can be pondering the thought. And I'm going to ask you some questions like, what are the three major things that you see need to be fixed from the mayor's standpoint for the city of Jacksonville? Secondly, we'll talk about the fact that we have some of the candidates. I think there's five candidates running. You can correct me after the top of the hour news. I believe there's five candidates running. And yet we have some of the candidates that have some glowing endorsements. This one endorsed and this one endorsed. Do we really need to place our confidence in endorsements, or do we place our confidence in the person and the track record of what they have done and what they are doing? Those are very serious things, because I think that we're being blown over with some of these so-called endorsements, and as such, people get a little confused as to the reality of truth in that candidate. So Al, hang in there, and ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dials. We're going to be right back right after the top of the hour news as we talk with Al Ferrero, the candidate for mayor in the city of Jacksonville.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.